now, a tale well calculated to keep you in suspense. In a moment, Act One of Perchance to Dream, starring Paul McGrath as Dr. Locke, and written especially for Suspense by Bob Corcoran.
Well, Mrs. Foster, this meeting is certainly under more pleasant circumstances than our first.
Yes. I'll never forget the day you called me, Dr. Locke.
Please sit down.
Thank you. But now you're giving my husband back to me fully recovered, and I do want to thank you for all you've done.
Yes.
Dr. Locke, is anything wrong? Isn't Paul all right?
Well, Mrs. Foster, this is a general hospital, and as far as the abrasions, broken arms, skull fracture are concerned, we were able to effect a complete recovery, but...
What is it? What's wrong?
Now, when you visited your husband here, did he ever mention Ernest Masterson?
No. He's the man whose wife...
was killed by your husband's car.
Well, should Paul talk about it? I mean, isn't it better forgotten?
Well, some things can never be forgotten, and even worse, some things are remembered wrongly.
Wrongly?
Yes, this was an unfortunate accident. A sudden blowout. The car whipped onto the sidewalk, and Masterson was badly injured, and his wife was killed. Now, you know it was an accident. I know it's an accident. We remember it that way. The police, the coroner's jury agreed that no one was to blame. Even Masterson has taken that attitude, remembers it this way.
But you're afraid that Paul doesn't?
I'm pretty sure he doesn't. You see, since the accident was nearby, both your husband and Masterson were brought to this hospital. Masterson is making a good recovery, despite a rather weak heart. But it's taking longer because he's older.
Well, has Paul said anything to him that makes you think something is wrong?
Your husband won't talk to him.
Won't talk to him? Well, why not?
I'm not sure. It seems that your husband blames himself for the death of Masterson's wife out of all proportion to the truth. He's often depressed, Miss Foster. He doesn't talk. Often nervous, irritable. I've tried to talk to him. And Masterson's been to his room repeatedly, trying to show him there's no grudge, that he shouldn't go on accusing and blaming himself. But we haven't been able to do a thing. Guilt is a burden not easily thrown down, and it can become unbearable.
Well, can't we do something?
I suggested a psychiatrist might come in and talk with him. He was very clear in his refusal.
Doctor, just what do you think?
Well, I think, Mrs. Foster, that he's acted as his own judge and jury, and no one else was allowed at the trial, and I'm afraid the verdict was guilty.
Are you sure of this verdict?
That's not very scientific, I know, but I do know that something is wrong.
And that something might happen?
It's possible. And since it is possible, I must tell you of it, no matter how much it might upset you or how wrong I might be, and I hope I'm wrong.
What might happen?
Well, guilt is a terrible lever. Expiation is often the only thing powerful enough to pacify it. It's possible, in expiation, in trying to make atonement for the wrong he feels he's done, but to judge and jury, he might add, executioner.
Oh, no. You mean do something to himself, take his own life? Oh, no, he couldn't do that.
I'm sorry to tell you this, but you know that I must. He has a dream almost every night. He talks in his sleep. I've watched him. I've listened to him. It seems to follow a pattern. He fights for a time, seemingly against doing something. Then the struggle is suddenly over. He gives in. This resistance period is getting shorter. Soon it may be gone altogether.
In this dream, he commits suicide?
Believe me, Mrs. Foster, when a mind is obsessed by a compulsion, nothing is out of the question. Now, I've asked him about this dream. He seems confused. He either will not or cannot tell me.
What can we do to help him? I'll do anything you say.
Don't let him see that we've been discussing this.
Yes, sir, come in. Well, down to get the old man out.
Hello, darling. You look wonderful.
I feel wonderful. Like to thank you for everything, Doctor. I guess I wasn't cut out to be a model patient.
Well, if they were all as little troubled as you...
We better run along. I know you're pretty busy. Oh, I stopped to say goodbye to Masterson. Thought you'd like to know.
Well, fine. That's fine. Well, I hope you're going to enjoy your freedom.
I intend to. Thought we might take a little trip. By train. I'm through driving for a while. Would you like that, darling?
Yes, that would be wonderful.
I was thinking we might take a run up to Providence tomorrow morning.
Providence? We don't know anybody in
Providence.
Well,
that's a good reason for going. We'll meet somebody. Hope to see you again, Doctor. Unofficially.
No one wants to see the doctor when he's well.
Goodbye, Doctor.
Bye-bye. he's not well, Miss Clemens, I'll swear it.
He seems fine.
Seems, yes, but there's something...
Too bad he couldn't have taken it all like Mr. Masterson. He lost his wife, and yet he seems completely without bitterness. I don't think I could be that forgiving.
Well, Foster's guilt won't let him be forgiving either, to himself. If only we knew more, Miss Clemens, we could anticipate and block any attempt he might make. Break the pattern of his dream.
No. No. No, not that. No. No, I didn't mean to kill her. I didn't mean... I didn't. Please. Please, I can't. I won't. I can't. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, I'm so sorry. Don't make me.
What?
No.
Oh, darling, wake
I'm
up.
I'm sorry.
Oh, please, wake up, darling. Paul, can't you hear me? What? Darling, you're dreaming.
What?
Paul, are you all right?
Mary.
Darling, what's the matter? What were you dreaming about?
I can't remember. There's shadows. I'm all confused. I don't know.
All right. It's all right now, darling. It doesn't matter. Come on now. You go back to sleep.
Huh?
We've got a long train ride tomorrow.
Mary, I don't think you should come with me to Providence.
Why not? Darling, why not?
I don't know. But you'd better let me go alone.
No.
Yes,
I... Paul Foster, you're not leaving me behind. I want to meet somebody in Providence, too.
But Mary...
No. Now, my mind is small, but it is firm. I'm going with you.
All right, Mary.
Good night, darling. Night.
Good night. Now, what is that? Bill or fan mail?
It's a note from Jan. She must have come by early this morning and dropped it in the mailbox.
Anything to save a stamp. What's she got to say?
Oh, you know, Jan, it's the usual thing. One of the children is sick.
I'm sorry if this is upsetting, and I repeat, I may be wrong. But just to be safe, check his luggage in case. Just in case there's a gun or any other weapon.
You still worrying about Mr. Foster, Doctor?
Huh? You're getting so you can read my mind, Miss Clemens, and I'm getting so I can't get him out of it. Oh. If I only knew more. I wonder if Masterson might know something that might help.
It's worth a try.
But I didn't want to bother him about Foster. Didn't think he could help. But now, at least it would be doing something. Will you get him, please, Miss Clemens? He'll be glad to help, and the walk from his room will do him good.
I wish we had something to read.
Hmm? Oh, sure. That's the way it always is. Rush for the train and forget the essentials. I think I'll take a walk.
All right, darling. But you be good and you be careful your first day out of the hospital.
It's a promise.
Check his luggage in case, just in case.
Why, Mary.
Oh, Paul.
What are you doing?
Startled me. Huh? I ran out of cigarettes and thought you might have some in your suitcase.
Well, what's wrong with these? They're right here on the windowsill.
Oh, my goodness, right under my nose.
Here, let me close
that. Oh, thanks, dear. Oh, why did you come back?
I wondered if you wanted me to bring you something.
Oh, thank you. There's nothing now that I have cigarettes.
Okay. See you later.
Lock the door.
Sorry to bother you, Mr. Masterson.
Oh, no bother at all. Glad to have somebody to talk to. I like to walk, but the chair still feels good.
Yes.
I guess the old ticker gets a little overworked. Miss Clemens said you wanted to talk to me about Foster?
That's right.
I guess maybe then this note Foster left me yesterday might make some sense to you.
Oh?
I got it here someplace.
Good.
He came to say goodbye. Real nice of him. I was sleeping, so he left me a note. Here it is. I don't rightly understand what he means. Miss Clemens said you think he might do something to himself on account of what he done to me and Ellen. Is that right, Doc?
Yes, yes, but listen, no. Have I been right about the danger and wrong about... Soon you can really forgive me. I will even the score. What does that mean, even the score?
Maybe he means like it says in the Bible. A tooth for a tooth. Killing himself won't do that. Won't do no good at all. Won't bring Ellen back. She is the dearest thing I had in the whole world.
And to even the score, Foster would have to lose the dearest thing he...
His wife?
Maybe subconsciously he's got some fantastic idea, because of the guilt he feels, that he must make you and himself equal in the way that he made you unequal. Good Lord. Maybe it's not suicide we're faced with, but murder.
Excuse me, you're Mr. Foster?
Yes, that's right.
I have a telegram for Mrs. Foster.
Oh, okay. I'll take it.
Fine. Thank you.
Thank you. A telegram.
You may be in great danger. Call me at once. Dr. J. Locke, Grant Hospital.
Dr. Locke.
Why doesn't she call? Mr. Masterson, I want you to help me some more. I've got to get a line on what he's thinking, consciously or subconsciously, what he may do. Why did he want to go to Providence? Now think back. Try to remember anything you can, anything at all you know about him.
Oh, gosh, Doc, I don't remember much. I tried to put it all out of my mind.
I know, and I'm sorry to have to ask you, but... Mrs. Foster's life may depend on your remembering.
Yeah, sure, Doc, sure. Well, Foster's a salesman. I guess you know that.
Yes.
He's always traveling around. I heard